Listen. You who dwell in the shelter of Elyon and abide in the shadow of Shaddai, I say of the Lord, my refuge and stronghold, my God in whom I trust, that he will save you from the fowler's trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his pinions. You will find refuge under his wings. His fidelity is an encircling shield. His fidelity is an encircling shield. You need not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks the darkness, or the scourge that ravages at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You will see it with your eyes, you will witness the punishment of the wicked. Because you took Adonai, the Lord, my refuge, Elyon, the Most High, as your habitation, no harm will befall you, no disease touch your heart. For he will order his angels to guard you wherever you go. They will carry you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on cubs and vipers. You will trample lions and serpents. And then the divine oracle, as God promises in response. Because he is devoted to me, I will deliver him. I will keep him safe, for he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will rescue him and make him honored. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Psalm 91, the psalmist assures the faithful that God protects from harm those who trust him. As it opens, as the psalm opens to us, a speaker addresses an audience testifying that in trusting God, no harm will befall us. And then at the very end, God responds in divine oracle, affirming the speaker's words. We have God's promise. We're standing on the promise. And the psalm is quite ancient. The rabbis are not sure, but what it was, liturgical, a processional hymn for either entering the temple faithfully at the beginning of worship or departing in confidence at its close. And nor, the rabbis tell us, nor is it clear how metaphorical the psalm is meant to be, reflecting popular religion or superstition of that age long ago, or the ordinary perils of human life, war, sickness, accidents, evil ones, or simply the dangers of demons within us. A realistic person who knows from experience and observation, both as a pastor and as a human being in my own right, who knows that life seems to have it in for us. I'm adopting Psalm 91 as my own, at least for Lent. There's no sword here, no dagger, spear, no offensive, lethal weapon. There's simply, for us who dwell in the shelter of Elyon, who abide in the protection of Shaddai, the promise of God's own self. God's faithfulness will be my encircling shield. My defense is sure. Now, I have had as my spiritual aid that sappy refrain that's tacked onto Isaac Watts' hymn, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I?" And if you know the hymn, you know that originally Watts had it rather disgustingly for such a worm as I. But Watts' hymns are exquisite theology of the cross, which indeed is where we are headed throughout the Lenten season, to Jerusalem and Calvary. And though not in the hymnal 1982 that's in your hymn rack in front of you, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed" is indeed in the greater body of hymnody of the Episcopal Church, and so we are legitimate if we sing it sometime. Sadly, for poetic beauty, but fortunate for me, or for you if you are in the grip of a demon, there was a music teacher, evangelical hymn writer of Whiskey Prohibition War Songs, an anti-drinking temperance songbook music publisher and sometimes Methodist temperance preacher named Ralphie Hudson. And in 1885, Hudson tacked onto Watts' beautiful 1707 hymn an irrelevant and tacky refrain whose popularity in Protestant evangelical Christianity probably saved Watts' hymn from dying in obscurity, because you see, people like to sing this stuff. And raised half Southern Baptist, even I do, I like to sing this stuff. Where at the end of each of Watts' plaintive stanzas, Hudson's refrain bursts out. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Doggerel or not, the cross does drive demons away. Now, our custom for the season is to give up something for Lent, and we take it to mean something solid: cigarettes, beer, wine, whiskey, chocolate, going to the movies, coffee, sweets, television. When I was a child, it meant a penny a day into a mite box. But opening the season of Lent, if you were here on Ash Wednesday, you heard the prophet Joel shout, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Rend your heart and not your garments." And that tells me that something I need to give up, rather than something can be seen, I give up something that's deep within me. And it also means, coincidentally, giving up for my own good and for my own sake, something that I should never let back in when Lent is over. I remember that in a sermon, Episcopalian Ellen F. Davis, who is a professor at Duke Divinity School, said, "Withdraw and do battle against the powers that have made your own heart occupied territory. Withdraw and do battle against the powers that have made your own heart occupied territory." Brings to mind last Sunday's gospel with Jesus casting out a demon from a boy. You may remember that. And you may define or perceive a demon any way you choose, any way you wish, whether it's a sickness, as that young boy had, or bitterness, jealousy, anger, hatred, resentment of another person, or a feeling that won't go away and is eating you up, perhaps with grief or longing or regret, or some consuming obsession, habit, addiction. Claim the Lord as your shield. That's the offer of the psalm. To help myself, I adopted, as I said, for my spiritual shield, Ralph Hudson's crass refrain, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden on my heart rolled away, it was there by faith that I first saw the light, and now I am happy all the day. That works. Perhaps because the cross does frighten the demons, but I've been an Episcopalian all my life, and doggerel is distinctly un-Episcopal. And so for Lent 2016, I've tossed Hudson, and I've taken up Psalm 91 as my shield against any tormenting spiritual demon within me. That's my Lenten project, holding up Scripture and calling on God the Father, as Jesus did to set people free. So this, sermons are preached as witness that hearers, listeners, the audience, someone, perhaps only one person in the room, can discover himself or herself in the preacher's plight. And so I offer it to you. It's me. It's me. If it's also you, then know that you're not alone. And together we have the promise of God. O you who dwell in the shelter of Elyon, who abide in the shadow of Shaddai, I say of the Lord, my stronghold and my refuge, my God in whom I put my trust, that he will save you from a fowler's trap, from a destructive plague. He will cover you with his pinions. You will find refuge under his wings. His fidelity is an encircling shield. You need not fear. You need not fear. And then God's word, the promise of Elyon Shaddai, who in fact is Jesus Christ, Because you are devoted to me, I will deliver you. I will keep you safe, for you know my name. When you call on me, I will answer you. I will be with you in distress. I will rescue you and make you honored. I will let you live to a ripe old age and show you my salvation.